Tonight, we want to begin by reading verse 15, John 21, verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith to him, Feed my lambs. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this time that we have to open the Word of God together, to meditate on this passage in the Gospel of John. We just pray that your Holy Spirit would guide and teach us now. In Jesus' name, amen. So chapter 20 is over. Chapter 20 tells us, John tells us the reason why he wrote this book was for unbelievers, primarily that they might know who Jesus is and that believing they might have life through his name. And in the first 20 chapters, he accomplished that purpose. And now John is addressing believers and the disciples in particular. And to get really particular, he addresses this to Peter. So Peter is in the forefront in this chapter. Just as a reminder, what happened in our last study in the narrative in verses 1 through 14, after the Lord revealed himself to the group of disciples after his resurrection, then Peter decided he was going fishing. And the other disciples went fishing with him, and they fished all night long, and they caught nothing. And the next morning, they fished all night long, they caught nothing. The next morning, they saw someone. They didn't recognize who it was, but they saw someone on the beach, and he called out to them, and he said, What have you caught? Lads, what have you caught out there? And they had to gulp and say, Nothing. Kind of embarrassing for experienced fishermen. And then this person that they didn't recognize initially said, Well, cast your net on the other side of the boat. And they did that. They listened to this man. They put the net on the other side of the boat. And then these strong fishermen were unable to pull the net up. It was filled with so many fish, 153 large fish. And then we noted also that John, the author of this book, the thoughtful one, much more so than Peter, was more impulsive. John was the thoughtful one, and he thought about what he had just seen and what they had just experienced. They caught nothing. They fished all night. They caught nothing. And then somebody tells them to cast their nets on the other side, and they have so many fish they don't know what to do with them. And John said, This is the Lord. John recognized the fingerprint of the Lord Jesus. John remembered back to that day early on in their ministry when Jesus came to that very same place, the shores of the Sea of Galilee, to the very same fishermen, and he said, Come and follow me. And it was on a night where we're told they had fished all night and they caught nothing. And then Jesus said, Try it one more time. Just let your nets down. And there were so many fish, their nets broke. And so John remembered that event, and he said, This is the Lord standing on the shore. And Peter impulsively just dove right in and swam to shore. And we see in chapter 21 in verse 9, it says, And as soon as they were come to land, as soon as they got on the shore, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon. So that's where we left the narrative last week. They're on the shore with the Lord Jesus. They now recognize who he is. And they're standing around this fire of coals, eating and fellowshipping with the Lord. And that's where we pick it up in verse 15. Here it says, And when they had dined, so they finished the meal. The Lord prepared a meal for them, and now they're all standing around this fire pit, around a fire of coals. That was the first thing they saw when they got to the shore. And at this point, they're all done eating. Maybe a small talk is taking place around the fire. And then Jesus addresses Peter privately or directly to Peter. And he asked him a very pointed question. Lovest thou me more than these? And so this was a question that we'll look at in a minute. But before we get to the question, let's consider the fact that the Lord Jesus had planned out this event. He plans out a lot of things. He planned out this event. Remember, we're told in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 28 that at the empty tomb, the angel said that Jesus is not here. You'll meet him up in the shores of Galilee, and you'll see him there. And so now the Lord Jesus planned this meeting with the disciples, and Peter in particular, on the shores of Galilee, and that's exactly where they were now in John 21. And Jesus had also planned to meet with Peter around this fire of coals. Soon as they got there, they saw that fire of coal. You know, there's only one other place in the Bible where we read about a fire of coals, and that's found in John 18, where Peter was warming himself around the fire of coals, and a young maiden there said unto Peter, aren't you one of his disciples? And Peter, who said, I will never deny you, Lord, says, I don't know the man, as he warmed himself around that fire of coals. And around the fire of coals, the disciples had gathered again on the shores of Galilee with the Lord Jesus. And now he's getting another pointed question. He got a very pointed question from this young maiden. Aren't you one of them? And now the Lord Jesus gathers them around this fire of coals. And he says to Peter, lovest thou me more than these? You know, the Lord arranges details. We may not realize it, but the Lord arranges details. And he arranged the details for the disciples that particular day. And he wanted to remind Peter and the other disciples of their obedience when they were called to the ministry initially. They had fished all night and they caught nothing. Jesus said, cast the net. He says, just try it one more time, cast the net. And Peter very reluctantly says, thinking to himself, this is foolish. We just fished all night. There's no fish around here. But he said, nevertheless, at thy will. And he let down the net. Peter surrendered at that point his heart to the Lord. He here was an experienced fisherman taking fishing lessons from a carpenter. And Peter humbled himself. And he surrendered his will to the will of the Lord. And he experienced great success. So many fish, they couldn't drag it in. And the Lord was reminding Peter of that first instance. And he's also reminding the Lord of his disobedience when Jesus was arrested shortly thereafter. And Peter failed the Lord three times. He failed the Lord three times around the fire of coals. The maiden asked him, and two others asked him who he was, and he denied knowing the Lord. He says, no, I'm not one of them. And then after the Lord was arrested, Peter failed the Lord again. At the Garden of Gethsemane, the Lord Jesus wanted his disciples to come and pray with him. One of them was Peter that he brought in. Most of them stayed by the gate, but Peter was there. And he failed the Lord three times. He fell asleep. The Lord said, couldn't you just pray with me for an hour? And so the Lord is bringing up in Peter's mind some old memories from the past, good and bad. And in verse 15 of chapter 21, the question of the Lord to Peter was, not to the other apostles, but to Peter, lovest thou me more than these? Now, there are various ways people interpret this, and I'm going to share you what I think the Lord meant here. Peter is again standing around a fire of coals, and he's asked another pointed question, not by the maiden, but now by the Lord himself. Peter was put on the spot around the fire of coals by the maiden, and now he's put on the spot by the Lord Jesus himself. And so the question in this passage is, what did the Lord mean by these? One view says that by these, the Lord was referring to the fish. That Peter, at this point, after the Lord was crucified and was raised again, Peter was quitting. He says, it's no use anymore. I failed the Lord. And I'm going fishing again. I'm not going to be a disciple anymore. I'm going back to my fishing business. And that's how they interpret this passage. I don't think that's the case here. I think the Lord is reminding Peter of some things that happened not that long prior. It wasn't that long ago with respect to this incident. I think when the Lord says, "Lovest thou me more than these," he was referring to the other disciples, meaning, Peter, do you really think that you love me more than these other disciples? The Lord was reminding Peter of his own words. Back in Luke chapter 23 and verse 33, it says, "And he said unto him, Lord," this is Peter speaking, "I am ready to go with thee into prison and to death. Nothing is going to stop me." And then in Matthew chapter 26, not that long ago, time-wise, Peter said, "Lord," or Jesus rather said to him, "all of ye shall be offended of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go into Galilee." And then Peter impulsively spoke up, and Peter answered and said unto them, him, "though all men, though anyone else, though all men are offended in you this night, yet I will never be." And Jesus said unto him, "verily I say unto thee, that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me three times. And what was Peter's response? His immediate response was, basically he said, "not so, Lord." He says, "though I should die with thee, yet I will not deny thee." So Peter was resisting what Jesus was saying. He was calling what Jesus said a lie, and he says, "that's not true. I will not deny you." And I don't want to be too harsh on Peter. I think he was sincere when he said those words. I think he really meant it, that he intended to never deny the Lord. His problem wasn't that he was lying. His problem was he failed to understand the depth of the depravity of his own heart. And he said, "not so, Lord. You're wrong. I'm right. I will never deny you. And yet the Lord predicted three times that night he would deny him. Peter claimed that the other disciples, he says, they may deny you, they might be offended in you, but I never will be. And Peter was telling the Lord that night of how loyal he was to Christ, of his dedication, his love for Christ, his faithfulness, and that he was superior to the other disciples. He would never, even if they defended him, "Lord, you know that I won't." And it was then when the Lord took Peter, James, and John into the midst of the Garden of Gethsemane, away from the other disciples, and he asked them to pray. And they fell asleep three times. Peter had just denied the Lord three times. Now he failed the Lord three times. And so the Lord's question was right on target. "Peter, do you really love me? Do you really believe that you love me more than the other disciples love me?" Peter said he did. He said, "they might deny you, but I never will." And at that point, the Lord was arrested, handcuffed, and taken away, and the Lord never had a chance to talk to Peter about that until now. And so now, after his resurrection, the Lord Jesus appears to the disciples on this shore, And he is about to send them out onto a new kind of a mission, unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And before Peter was ever going to be of any value to the Lord in being sent off to preach the gospel of the grace of God, he needed to learn a vital lesson. He needed to learn just how prone to sin his sinful heart really was. How prone to wander he was. How prone to failure he was. And that apart from Christ, we can do nothing. That's essential for a disciple, for a missionary to know. And this is a lesson we all need to learn. And so the Lord was going to teach Peter that lesson that night. The Lord Jesus doesn't use perfect men in the ministry because there aren't any, but he won't use men that are proud. He can't use men that are proud. He needs humble men. And Peter needed to be humbled. And that's what he's going to get a dose of on the shores of Galilee. So Jesus asked him, "Simon, son of Jonas, do you really think that you love me more than the other disciples do?" That was quite a pointed question around that fire that reminded him of the time he denied the Lord 3 times. I'm sure there was a gulp. And Jesus was going to ask him that question 3 times. "Lovest thou me?" And in verse 15, in the second part of the verse, Peter says, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." Now notice that Peter isn't comparing himself to the other disciples anymore. He's not saying, "I love you more than they do." He's just saying, "I love you." A humbling was beginning to take place in Peter. Peter knew that Jesus knew everything about him, that the Lord knew his heart inside and out better than Peter knew his own heart. And so there's no point in trying to fool the Lord. And so Peter says to Jesus, "Lord," and I believe he meant it, that Jesus was his Lord. And he says, "Lord, thou knowest." And he meant it. He knew that Jesus knew about the frailty of Peter. Jesus knew everything about him. And now Peter is beginning to become a little more transparent, honest with the Lord. He's learning that lesson we read in the book of Hebrews about the Lord. All things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. And Peter was standing before him, naked and open, and the Lord knew everything about Peter. And the Lord also knew that Peter believed in him, that Peter had faith in him, but that it got weak at times. And the Lord also knew that Peter loved the Lord, that his love was genuine, but it was sometimes fickle, hot one day, cold the next. And Peter acknowledged here that he loves the Lord, but that he himself was a work in progress. Peter knew that it's easy to say, "I love you, Lord," but words can often be cheap. And so the Lord was teaching him, remember, Peter, what happened around the coals of the fire? That Peter's love was fickle at times, but it was genuine. He really loved the Lord, and Peter was a faithful servant of the Lord. But even though he said, "Lord, I'll never deny you," and even though he meant it, he didn't realize how frail he really was. And the Lord had to teach him that lesson. It's humbling for all of us to learn just how prone to wander we really are. It's painful to learn that lesson, but it's necessary if we're going to be useful in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this whole experience was designed by the Lord Jesus not to make Peter feel bad, but rather to make Peter feel bad that he might be restored. The Lord is trying to restore him to service after his failures. And Peter needed this. Peter needed to be reminded. He needed to be humbled. And later on, Peter wrote about the value of this kind of humbling. He wrote in his first epistle, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God," and that's what he was experiencing around the fire, that he may exalt you in due time. So Peter, had fallen three times, and the Lord was trying to pick him up here and bring him back to that place of useful service as a humbled servant. And then Jesus said something to Peter that must have been so encouraging. Peter was feeling like a failure. He failed the Lord three times, and the Lord never got a chance to talk to him about that. And Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." This was the Lord's way of saying, "Peter, I'm not done with you. Yes, you failed, but I'm not writing you off. You're not disqualified. You can be restored." And as long as Peter maintained that relationship of love, a right heart, a heart of love for the Lord Jesus, then he would be a useful servant in God's ministry, and he would bear much fruit. And certainly this must have been so reassuring to Peter to hear those words after he denied the Lord. And remember how he just caught that one little glimmer of the Lord's eye when he, that third denial, and he ran out and he wept bitterly. And so now Jesus asked him that pointed question, and then he repeats it two more times. Look in verse 16. He saith unto him again the second time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" And he saith unto him, he Peter, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love you." And he saith unto him, "Feed my sheep." And then verse 17. And he saith the third time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" But this time, notice, Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, "Lovest thou me?" And he said unto him, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee." And Jesus saith unto him, "Feed my sheep." So by the third time, Peter was really agitated. He was grieved. He was upset. He was full of sorrow. He was feeling the conviction. The Lord was driving, "Do you really love me more than these others, Peter?" And he kept asking him the question over and over again so that Peter would think about it and think about what he had said in the past. And here he is standing by that fire of coals with that convicting question coming to him, repeated three times. It must have been excruciatingly painful for Peter to hear that. It was as if Peter was saying, "Lord, I get your point, but do you really have to repeat it three times?" But the Lord wanted to drill it in until it really sunk in. And I think it was starting to sink into Peter's head and his heart. Now, there are a couple of important nuances from the original text that aren't immediately apparent in our English Bibles. In the first two questions, in verses 15 and 16, Jesus asked Peter if he loved him. And the Lord used the word agape, which speaks of the highest form of self-sacrificial love. We spoke about that this morning. The kind of love that God loved the world in such a way that he was willing to sacrifice his most precious son, and his son was willing to pay that greatest price of dying. It's that kind of love that's willing to sacrifice all for the good of others. Peter claimed that, "Lord, though all men deny you, I'd go to jail for you. I would die for you." And so Jesus was asking Peter, "Do you really have the kind of love that's willing to sacrifice all for me?" And Peter was getting a little antsy. Peter claimed that he had that kind of love. He said, "Though all men though all men offend thee, I will not ever. I'll die for you, Lord. I have the highest form of love for you, that selfless, sacrificial love." And now the Lord was drilling it into his head and heart, and Peter was beginning to realize, maybe I'm not quite as solid as I thought I was. Maybe my love isn't really as deep as it should be for the Lord Jesus. Maybe I'm not as selfless as I thought. Peter was full of zeal. He was an excitable man and an emotional man. He blurted out, "I'll die for you. I'll never deny you." But he underestimated, grossly underestimated, the depth of his own sin nature and frailty. And now the Lord is teaching him, don't be so sure about yourself, Peter. Don't be presumptuous. Peter had good intentions, but I think it was starting to sink in here. Peter understood what the Lord meant by the question, "Do you have agape love for me, Peter?" And Peter was evidently intimidated by that question, and he dares not be presumptuous to the Lord again as he's looking at the Lord eyeball to eyeball around that fire. And so he didn't say to the Lord, "I'm ready to die for you again." Instead, he said, "Lord, I love you. I have phileo love for you. I have warm affection in my heart for you." And this was kind of an admission on Peter's part now, that the depth of his love wasn't quite what he thought it was. Yes, he did have love for the Lord. He had warm affection for the Lord, and that's a wonderful thing. And the Lord was successful in humbling Peter. Peter, who so often acted on emotion and affections and presumption and human affection, he didn't fully understand the depths of what it means to sacrifice for God, to love the Lord with all of his heart. He thought he did. He didn't understand fully what it meant to love others as Christ loves us, with agape, selfless love that's willing to sacrifice all for others. So Peter didn't dare to say back, "Lord, I have agape love for you." He said, "I have great affection for you." And then the third time Jesus asked the question, Jesus changes his wording. He said the third time, "Simon Peter, lovest thou me?" But this time he condescended to Peter's level. And he said, he used the word phileo to Peter. He says, "Do you really have warm affection for me?" And that still grieved Peter. Peter was grieved that the Lord kept reminding him about this. You know, it's like somebody keep sticking the finger into an open wound, and it stings and it hurt. And Peter was grieved. "Lord, you know everything. You know that I have warm affection for you." And Jesus accepted his warm affection. Peter was a work in progress. Peter was beginning to know that. The Lord already knew that. He had been humbled. And he's not quite so presumptuous anymore about his level of love and dedication to the Lord. And each time the Lord encouraged Peter by saying, "I'm not done with you, Peter. Feed my sheep." And he used different terms for feed. One means to graze or to pasture. One means to shepherd or to care for sheep. It could have been a change just for style or not to be redundant. But regardless, the Lord was affirming Peter. He was reaffirming Peter and restoring him for an important role that the Lord had for him in the coming days. In other words, "Peter, your failures, though they were many, are forgiven. You can be restored and feed my sheep again." The Lord knew that Peter meant well, that he really did have great affection for him, and that on occasion he demonstrated agape love. But Peter needed to learn, and so do we, that there is so much more to learning the agape love of God, the height and breadth and length and depth of it. We will spend eternity learning that and never scratch the surface. So how presumptuous was Peter for assuming he had arrived? "I'll never offend you, Lord. I'll never be offended in you." Peter needed to learn the depth of the depravity of his heart. And then Jesus said something to Peter that in any other setting, in any other circumstances, or in any other situation, probably would have scared him to death. But in this particular setting, it was so comforting and encouraging for Peter. And look in verse 18. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest where thou wouldest, but when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. And here Jesus is predicting that Peter will die a martyr's death, and he would glorify God by dying a martyr's death. And later, Peter wrote about this. He understood it might sound a little symbolic here. It might sound a little difficult to gather, but the Lord was just saying that when you were young, you went where you want, but there's coming a time when you're going to be apprehended and they're going to take you somewhere where you don't want to go, like prison, and to be executed. And Peter wrote in his second epistle, he said, shortly I must put off this my tabernacle. I'm going to die. I'm going to shed my tent, my body, even as the Lord Jesus hath showed me. So Jesus predicted the death of Peter. It would be a martyr's death. Now, normally, dying by means of a torturous death and execution would be a fearful thing. But to Peter, it was such a relief. It meant that Peter would be faithful to the Lord to the very end. He wouldn't deny the Lord. He wouldn't be disqualified from service. And he would learn the depths of agape love in being willing to lay down his life for Christ. It meant for Peter that he would not die as a failure. He wouldn't die as one who denied the Lord and failed and fell away and went back to his fishing and that was the end of it. He would be faithful to the end. He loved not his life unto the death. And then in verse 19, in the second part of the verse, it says, and when he had spoken this, he, Jesus, he saith unto him, follow me. So Peter is being reminded of the past. He's being reminded of his failures. Here they are around that fire of coals and asked pointed questions, bing, 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 three in a row. And he's also being reminded of that initial time when Jesus met him at the Sea of Galilee and said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And so now Peter knew that, no, the Lord wasn't going to cast away Peter because of his failures. In fact, the Lord was restoring him to the place of useful service. God wasn't done with Peter yet. And God isn't done with us yet either. Despite all of our weaknesses and all of our frailties and all of our failures, God is in the business of restoring his children to the place of useful service. And Jesus wanted Peter to know that day that he would follow him to the end, that Peter would ultimately prove himself to the Lord. He proved himself to be a failure on several occasions. But when Jesus was calling his disciples unto himself, he said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, an instrument of torture and death, and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. And here it was sinking into Peter that he was following the Lord. The Lord called him to ministry, and he followed the Lord, but he failed. And God took him back. He failed the Lord three times. He was ashamed to identify himself as a follower of Christ. Three times. And now the Lord is letting Peter know that in the end, you will come forth as gold. He would be willing to lose his life for the Lord's sake. You know, Peter's failures had been piling up at this point. Near the end, he denied the Lord 3 times. He fell asleep when, at the Lord's darkest hour in Gethsemane, he fell asleep when he was supposed to be praying with the Lord 3 times. Peter must have been feeling like a dirtbag and a failure and a loser and all the rest. And think of some of Peter's other failures. He tried to walk on water one time and he failed because he wasn't focused on the Lord. Then the Lord revealed for the first time to Peter and the others that he was going unto Jerusalem, that this was the culmination, this was the reason he came, he was born to die, he was going into Jerusalem, he's going to be crucified and raised on the 3rd day, and Peter said, "No way, Lord. May it never be." Here he is, resisting the Lord again. And then the Lord wanted to wash the disciples' feet. And he came to Peter, and Peter says, "No way, you're not washing my feet." And Jesus said then, "We have no fellowship. You have no part." Then Peter claimed to be a hero. The Lord said, "You're all going to be scattered." And Peter said, "Oh, they might, but not me, Lord. I will never be ashamed of you. I will never deny you." And then he was ashamed to admit that he was a follower of Christ before this young woman. And when they came to arrest the Lord Jesus, Peter was moved by emotion. He didn't wait for the Lord. He just cut off a man's ear. And the Lord rebuked him again. You know, as fallen creatures, we are inclined to remember our failures. Or maybe it's just me. Maybe I just always remember and always go back to that, and I always mull it over in my mind, and that's what always comes up, and it makes you feel miserable and like a loser and all the rest. Peter was emotional by nature. And I think he had that kind of a tendency too, feeling like a miserable loser. But the Lord gave Peter a gift of grace that day. And he let him know how he would die. It would be a torturous death. They were going to take you away and execute you. You won't want to go there. But that was such a relief to Peter, because the Lord was revealing to him that he wasn't going to be a failure in the end. And then the Lord said the same words that he said at his original call to the ministry in the same place. He said, "Peter, follow me." Peter obeyed the first time, and he obeyed the 2nd time as well. And Jesus said, "Feed my sheep, the lambs, the new ones, and the older ones. Feed the sheep and the little lambs." Peter would one day prove his love for the Lord by paying the ultimate price. And isn't this really what we all want? To be able to finish the race faithfully, and not to be disqualified. And Peter is such a good example for all of us. Because if God can use a proud, presumptuous, brash, impulsive, act before you think kind of a guy, who's always putting his foot in his mouth, if God can use him and restore him to faithful service, then God can use me and you. And when we fail, the Lord delights in restoring us. God is our Father, and that's what fathers do. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the truth of it. We thank you for Peter and all the lessons that we can learn from him and apply to our lives. God, help us to be faithful to the end. Father, help us not to dote and just be dragged down by our failures, but Lord, help us to be restored to you by confessing our sins and moving on. And we thank you, we praise you, Lord, for your grace, that you are a pardoning God, and that you restore when we fall. And we pray, Lord, that you would help each of us to allow these truths to sink in for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.